Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what the heck, let's throw in the Holy Spirit this morning. There was a man named Nicodemus who was an admirer of Jesus, it says in the gospel lesson appointed for today. And he came to Jesus by night. Anytime in the Gospel of John we hear the word night, we pay attention. John is very interested in night and day, light and dark. The implication is that Nicodemus may be an admirer of Jesus, but he is not one of the disciples. He comes in darkness where he will not be seen by others in the community. And yet he has in him this curiosity about Jesus. And he comes and he says to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God." A teacher. Not Messiah. Not Son of God. But teacher who has come from God. And we know this, for no one else could ever do these things unless it was from the presence of God. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus comes to Jesus with what one commentator calls an undeveloped faith, a wonderfully psychosocial way of saying he hadn't yet made up his mind. He wasn't fully committed heart, body, and soul to the ministry of Jesus. He wanted, as I often say to vendors, a little more information. "Could I have a little more information about that?" Which, by the way, is my way of telling vendors, "I'm not actually interested." I think Nicodemus is interested, but he's not yet committed. And suddenly the conversation takes this sort of left turn about whether one can re-enter the womb and be born again. And Jesus, of course, knows that Nicodemus has missed the point. He comes to Jesus with a childish notion of who and how Jesus works and who Jesus is, but he wants more. But he's not necessarily willing to do what it takes. Jesus says, "Look, no one can enter the kingdom without being born from above. Born of water and spirit. Everyone must be born again of this spirit. Don't you understand?" And then this line that you all know so well at the end of this text: "For God so loved the world." God loved the world in this way, that God gave God's only Son to die, that you might have eternal life. Later on in John, that message will be reiterated to the disciples, that the way to truly come to God is to take up one's cross, that very cross about which Jesus speaks to Nicodemus. You see, I think Nicodemus comes to Jesus with a childish faith, wanting to be more and desiring to do more, to be a part of the disciples and experience what they experience. But he just can't take that next step. In a recent study, and there are lots of them about why the mainline church is diminishing, but in one of the studies that we read, it said that the main reason people are leaving the church is because they don't believe the faith of their childhood, the faith in which they were raised. As I sat with my colleagues and we talked about that and about Nicodemus, we had a little revelation that is not a surprise. It's not a surprise that you adults, I hope, are not ascribing to the faith of your childhood. It clicked all of a sudden for us that one of the reasons people sort of drift away from their church family, from their church ohana, from the faith in which they grew up, is that we never let them actually grow up in the faith. Can you imagine if you went to Fred Benko's adult study class and he whipped out the flannel boards, which I have to tell you are stored in the boardroom. We have flannel boards. But imagine if what we did was say to you, you know, you need to have the faith, a childish faith, not childlike faith, but childish faith. And that what we want you to do is to develop no further than you did in Mrs. Beasley's fourth grade Sunday school class. How long would that feed you? When Paul says in the second lesson for today that God has adopted us as God's children, we don't get frozen in the faith right there. Part of what happens in the power of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is that we grow into the faith, that our faith matures, that we no longer blindly ascribe to the formulas of our childhood. I remember my childhood pastor explaining the Trinity as, well, it's like water. Do you remember this? Did you get this? You probably did this, didn't you, Don? I've done it. Guilty. You know, water can be ice. Water can be liquid. Water can be steam. And so then I left the classroom thinking, God's all wet? There's nothing wrong with the image. It's just that as we grow in the faith, not only as children, but as young adults, as teenagers, we need to be fed more and better food. We need to take our adopted status with God more seriously. Now, I'm all for grace, but it doesn't come. That knowledge and that maturity of the faith doesn't come automatically or easily. We can't, as Nicodemus desires, enter back into the womb and be born again suddenly and have it all poured on us. When Jesus says that God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son to die so that we might believe, it seems to me that's a call to discipleship. As children, we're a little lost in the faith, except that we know to follow our parents, right? Or follow some person that we admire in the faith. And at some point, we need to become the one who leads, who brings other young Christians along. And in order to do that, we need to read Scripture. We need to engage one another in conversation and even downright knockdown arguments about the faith. In a little while, you're going to hear about our Synod Assembly. And one of the things that grieves me about Synod Assemblies these days is that we no longer have passionate, informed debate about the gospel. In fact, we've become positively nice. Part of what it means to mature in the faith is to have issues with what we learned as children, to grapple with it and wrestle with it, to ask questions like, what do you mean God is like water? Explain the Trinity to me and tell me why you believe it. Struggle with it. Ask questions. Ask the question, why is it that Nicodemus turns up at the beginning of John and then we don't hear again from him until the end of John when Jesus is dead? What happened in between? We ought to question, why do I want to be adopted by a God who kills God's only son? Is that the childhood I want? And we need to grapple with the realities of a world in pain. We also need that comfort and joy of knowing that this very God with whom we wrestle, with whom we argue, against whom we may sometimes rail, is the same God who promises always to be with us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of our night visit to God, God will proclaim light for us. So I think one antidote for the shrinking numbers of people in churches today is that pastors and church committees and Sunday school committees and all of those kinds of folks, our synod and our national church, ought to quit treating you like children. That we ought to say there is an adult faith, and that's the faith we should teach our children. Begin them with the stories about Zacchaeus. As a matter of fact, I said to somebody, oh, we're going to have Nicodemus this Sunday. And they said, did they ever get him out of that tree? I said, no, it's Nicodemus this Sunday. Nicodemus, Zacchaeus is later in the year. We need to get past the stories of our childhood and become the story of Christ enfleshed in the world. That will be our spirit of adoption, our adult faith. And so on this Trinity Sunday, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in the spirit of Nicodemus, who desperately wanted to become one of Jesus' followers, and even Zacchaeus, who finally came out of the tree and ate with Jesus, let's grow up in our faith and be strong in our joy of the gospel and be filled with that Holy Spirit and the care of the Son and the creative power of the Father, not just on this Trinity Sunday, but in every day and every moment. Amen.